Thank you for tuning in to the third episode of
Encountering the Core.
Once again, I am Jacob Foreman, aka Sunshine. I am here with Orion Crook, LPC, in Orion's therapy office here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Speaking of sunshine, I am sitting in it.
This window
is sunny.
It's a gorgeous day here in Atlanta. It is very springy, despite the fact that it is not spring yet.
No, I think it is. I think it happened like Tuesday or something.
Wait, really?
I think so. I saw a post about it. You know, that's how you learn everything.
I mean, it's going to be below freezing for the next 3 nights. So,
but spring officially based upon the math of the sun.
Yeah. Not taking into account global warming.
Wait. I have a question. Can you actually get a tan through a window? Is that possible?
Yeah, I've gotten sunburnt while driving in my car before with the window up. I was driving for a really long time, so I feel like there's layers.
Oh, if it's possible, it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
I just always wondered.
Yeah. How about we just sit here and record for the next few hours and see what happens?
Give me my sunglasses and some SPF. I'm melting!
So this week, we are moving on from our conversation of awareness. We talked about awareness last week, which was the follow-up of our first episode about reactivity. And last episode, we talked about how we can become aware of the reactions that we are having. From that conversation, it seemed clear to us that there are these two paths that we can go down once we are aware. One path is to help ourselves regain more awareness and move out of reactivity. The other path is to actually have what we might think of as a second reaction. Once we are aware, we become aware of that we are having a reaction, and then we have a reaction to that awareness, which actually just brings us back into reactivity. So the next two episodes are going to be split roughly into these two broad categories. This episode, we're going to be talking about the things that bring us back into reactivity.
Binaries, ew.
We do hate them, but...
It's a spectrum. You were saying?
This episode will be things that bring us back into reactivity. Next episode is going to be things that bring us further into awareness. So, let's move in. So Ryan, what do you mean when you say that we're talking about things that pull us out of awareness?
Part of this is the conversation that we are having trouble having awareness, right? So we could say that you're not having it at all, right? But we're talking about these moments where you start to wake up, you start to be like, wait, here I am, right? I'm having this moment. And then what do you do with that? And I think first where I start with my clients, just ask them, what do you see? What happens next? Like, what's literally what happens next? And they can pretty easily grab. And often I hear that they judge themselves. Oh, I can't believe I'm acting like this. I can't believe I'm doing this. They want to control it, right? I need to stop doing this. And there's this space of like, okay, so that brings us a lot of information. And this really is a very individualized process. But there's this sense that you're actually being magnetized back in. And you might just be thinking about the plethora of things that the reaction is about. And there again, we get into, well, are you trying to solve it? Are you trying to analyze it? Why am I like this? Why is this person like this, right? Getting into kind of some sort of analytic therapy mode. There's a lot more that can happen there, but it really is just this magnetic pull away from awareness when you're in a reaction.
So it sounds like the work that you do with clients at this point, once they gain awareness that they are being reactive, is really specific in questioning, okay, what do you do next? Whenever you have awareness that you're being reactive, how specifically do you respond?
Yeah, I think getting to know your own style is so important, what's happening in that moment. And that's what I find week after week. There's this like, oh, you're solving again. Oh, you're trying to figure out the whys mm-hmm. again and again. And right. And what are these? And often these can be like what sometimes we call like survival strategies, right? Mm-hmm. These are the things that you've used through childhood to get you through it. Yeah, you thought it through, you solved it. And it can be really beneficial. But it comes down to, again, if you're having trouble having awareness, then you are in a reaction. Mm-hmm. You are going to have these cognitive distortions. So it's not the time to be doing all that thinking. It's not the time to do the judging. And we want to kind of try to hold you more into the awareness to be aware of that.
Yeah. So being aware that a lot of the work in this realm is very specific to how we individually respond to reactions and our awareness that we are reacting. Would you mind sharing maybe some things that you commonly do?
I would say that one of my things is I really get caught up in the future. For a few years now, I've been asking, what do I want to do, with really big questions. Do I want to move? Do I want to buy a house, right? And as great as that sounds, it's actually quite a spiral for me. And I can kind of get sucked in. And so part of me, what I do is I work to kind of come into awareness when I'm having that moment, right? And for me, it's like, yeah, if I'm thinking about house buying at all, if I'm thinking about New York, Brooklyn at all, like my brain has been trained to send this flare into awareness. And to kind of like say, hey, this is a moment, you're having it.
So you're saying that you recognize that something that you continually do is start to have this desire to solve the future and plan ahead. And so whenever you notice that you're doing that, that sort of acts as a trigger to notice that you are having a reaction and that you are having this response that you typically have.
And even further, what I've learned is like, there's this feeling that I feel like I need to figure it out, that I can figure it out. And I almost want to spiral in to that sense. And that's the part that almost keeps me there. That kind of says like, no, Orion, like you can get it. If you just think about it, what do you want? So it's like, there's this kind of like sense that I can get it and that the answer is in there. And that will just drive me into thinking and thinking and thinking. And I'm aware that even that is going to be there convincing me. And that like, I've heard that voice a lot. And that just wants to keep me in the spiral.
Yeah, if you just do one more Google search.
Oh, one more looking at the house. One more just thinking about it. Yep. Weighing the odds. What do you want from your life? What is it? Next one. Next house. Next Brooklyn. Are you? Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it does. There's part of that feels good because, yeah, I'm figuring it out. But also there's this like, I can feel myself as I go into it kind of getting triggered. And I also know it happens a lot when I lay down. Like I start to go to bed and that's where it shows up a lot. And I almost feel like as I lay there in bed, I can just want to close my eyes and just dig in and dig in and dig in and dig in. Like as if I'm going to find the key and the answer and the knowledge that I haven't exactly found in 3 or 4 years. So, and yeah, maybe it's going to come at some point, but I'm aware enough to be like, oh, you're in bed. You're trying to go to bed. This is this moment. You've had this moment a lot. Maybe this isn't the moment you want to do this thinking. And then I sometimes and often can pull myself into then a soothing and move myself into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that definitely resonates with me because that desire to solve is something that I do a lot. I definitely respond oftentimes in situations to wanting to ask, okay, cool, how can we fix it? Like, this just happened. How can we take what happened and how can we like figure out solutions? And especially around the future, anytime something happens that feels disappointing, recently whenever I didn't get into grad school, I often have this urge to be like, okay, if I'm not doing that, then what else am I going to do? What else can I find?
Survival strategy.
Yeah. Satiate this need for feeling like I am stable and progressing and doing these things for myself.
And it's not that you don't want to do all that thinking. Mm-hmm. It's just worth asking, am I in a reaction, right? And if I'm having trouble having awareness, staying in awareness, being like, okay, right, that you feel like there's this pull, then, and especially the more negative the pull, the stress that's there, the more you feel the chemicals, the more you feel, the less you may want to do it, right? And these classic questions like, was there just a trigger, right? Did something just happen? Are you having trouble having awareness? Like the more you kind of are, do you feel it? How big does this feel? And we want to work away from solving and doing these things when we're in it, when we're having trouble having awareness, when we can kind of be like, yeah, there's something going on here that's a reaction. But it's also so important to come back to it, right? It's not about just moving away and away. As I say, that's skill one, bringing yourself down, the dance of the spiral, like dance out of that, move through it, like do your best, but also, yes, at a later date to come back and sit down and use another skill to journal on it, to write on it, right? To have a conversation with someone that keeps you grounded about it, right? Maybe to do those Google image searches, but not at midnight when you need to be going to bed and you're actually really anxious about it all. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe not right after you get the letter, you know, like that next morning when you feel more centered in your core and coming from a place of like expansion and possibility and not like kind of ruled out by fear or negative chemicals.
Yeah. So it sounds like whenever you talk about not wanting to do that work in the moment, whenever you are having awareness that you're in a reaction, relates back to the conversation we had last episode about cognitive distortions, the way that we perceive information and process and construct narratives differently whenever we're having those reactions. I'm curious though, because also part of what we've talked about with your practice is the embodied nature of it. Polyvagal theory, this way that the work that you do is very connected to the responses that we're having in our nervous system and being aware of the chemicals in our bodies. So I'm curious if there's a specific place in your body where you feel this urge to solve the future, make plans, and figure out all of these broader questions that you continually have.
Yeah, that sense that I get is almost like I want to close my eyes and go in and really tunnel. So it's kind of almost a little bit like behind my eyes in a way. But the other side of it is that once I kind of start to go into that, then I find and I start to kind of trigger these other responses of not knowing and me thinking, what's that about? What's, you know, I might get into the like, what's wrong with me side. And then that's very in my chest, right? And that's this like cavity and this weight. I can think about this house that I didn't buy and whether that was a mistake or not. And I get really kind of, I can feel this weight in my chest that isn't maybe there at the beginning, but I know that that is there. And that's just, I start to then go into this darker place. And again, the cognitive distortions start coming, right? The way of perceiving reality as if there's a good and a bad, the polarized, and the tunnel starts in my eyes, and then the weight of it can get in my chest.
Yeah, thank you. You've sort of touched on this, but I'm curious if we can go a little bit deeper into the ways that we might build awareness of our tendencies that we have. How might we become just more aware of the way that we respond in those situations?
In some way, that's the part of the first movement, right? Okay, if I have awareness to have what's happening next, where, okay, there it is, right? To be aware, and especially just training that objective observer that can sit there and just be like, oh, this is what's happening. There's me judging, right? If we can start to keep some distance, right? Keep that part of us aware that that's happening a little bit longer, and then we get sucked in, and then a little bit longer. That part itself is staying in awareness. We're able to say, like, in, you know, really well awareness over a few days. It's not that you're aware every moment, but yeah, for through a week-long depression, you continue to bubble and practice this awareness and know you're in a depression, to know that you're going to be there, right? Yes, we also talk about working towards accept it, right, as a very wide scale. And I think in some way, acceptance so deep down, which, you know, we look at the word compassion, right? This word that I think we think so often think means love, right? But it actually comes from roots of being with, right? So this idea that it's not that you love these parts of yourself, it's that you're able to be with them. You're able to accept them, right? To have compassion towards them and sit there and watch. There's that part of me judging myself. There's that part of me hating myself. There's that part of me catastrophizing. And can you sit there a little bit and just watch it and kind of actually have some objective distance from that? That means you're staying in awareness, right? And yes, that's hard. And the harder it is, the more you're reacting. And that's kind of, again, the cycle that if you're really not able to do these things, then you're in it. Another piece that I say here is there's a secondary reaction that can happen, right? So you're having this reaction about this thing that just happened, about, you know, not getting into grad school, and you're having this moment. And then you start to have these secondary reactions. Oh, now you're judging yourself, right? Now you're, you know, you're in all these extra spirals about that, right? And even like the further is like, you can judge yourself for having the reaction, right? Judging yourself for the next day being depressed, right? And then, so not only are you actually having this primary reaction about school, you're now having a reaction about your reaction. And I think there's that kind of place that there are a lot of ways that my clients say that they hate seeing themselves in this. They hate that they can't control it. They hate that they can't be happy or feel differently. And to me, that's like, okay, now you got a whole nother reaction happening.
It's interesting the way that you spoke about it there, that these are sort of secondary reactions. We have a reaction, and then we have a reaction to our awareness that we are having a reaction.
So let's even say this, right? you are paying attention. Oh, I'm having awareness, and I'm now starting to try to gather data. And over time, you start to collect this data, right? I would say then you get this kind of meta awareness, meta consciousness of knowing your reactions, right? Okay, and yeah, so you go through phases. You're doing a 3 weeks where you're watching yourself judge yourself. Oh, there's that part of me, and you work with that, right? And then you might start to get to understand, and that's kind of what I'm doing with my clients in therapy, is we're working through sometimes week by week, what were your reactions for the week? Okay, what happened? Let's get into the minute. And then we kind of pick through that. And then that brings whatever the reaction is, whatever that is happening to them, it brings it into, it's hard to use this word again and again, but it brings it into awareness. Now you know that you're looking for that. Now you can see it. And now can we see it? Can we accept it? And it's like this layering process of being able to withstand. So some of it feels like it has to do with just expecting, knowing what you're going to see, being able to label parts. I think that's such a big part. Being able to label the cognitive distortions, being able to label, there's my lonely self. Up, oh, there's my I do everything wrong self, right? To be able to do that is distancing. So it's kind of like we're training this objective observer to be able to sit there and not judge and look and hold on, and just until we get better and better and better at just letting these reactions happen, which ultimately means we're being more aware of them, but we're allowing for them. And that's such a huge shift, right? That alone, if you're allowing for your reaction and you're really there and you can start to label these parts, you're already so much further than what we're talking about. You're not stuck and you're not in the throes, and you get better and better and better at that.
I think part of the question to me is that once we have established that we are having a reaction, it's not the time to judge ourselves. It's not the time to try to solve. And once we also can recognize that while we are reactive, there are these cognitive distortions that are happening, how might we become better at noticing whenever we're having those secondary reactions? How might we become better at noticing when we are starting to actually pull ourselves back into reactivity and out of awareness?
As we begin to grow awareness of what happens in these moments, right, we start to get these themes, right? Okay, wow, I have this alone theme, right? I have this shaming theme, right? So when we're in that awareness, we can start to pull up this little like Rolodex that says, okay, am I doing the alone thing? Am I doing the shaming thing? Oh, wow, yeah, I'm feeling a lot of shame. Okay, right? Then that is, there's a piece of it. I think we can even go as far to train certain thoughts, right? Like I was saying earlier there, if I'm thinking about house buying, I need to be like, whoa, 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 be careful, right? I've set a little like landmine in there, in that actual place in my thought, because that's so common, that kind of boop, and I bubble into awareness, right? I set that with even the feelings, right? I kind of say, when I feel like this, what does it feel like? And I just put a little bit of awareness. And I think generally, if I feel not good, I am working to train myself to come online just anytime, right? And I would say the last part is, another technique that I use in the room with clients is almost that when they're talking about this moment, they're in there, they're saying, last Thursday, I was having this moment, I was thinking these things, I was feeling these things, they're there. I can almost even insert myself in there, be like, okay, this is the moment. This is the moment that you need to come into law, you need to come online, be like, this is the thing that I'm talking about with my therapist. This is the moment. This is the thing I'm working on, right? That we really actually kind of get in that neurological place and put, well, in my instance, it's put me, right? Put this voice, put this moment saying, hey, this is it. This is it. This is the moment to do work. And it's hard to, that doesn't mean it's going to happen, but that's another kind of step in it.
Yeah. I think whenever you say the word landmines, that really sticks out to me, because it brings this image in my head about this specific point that is really dangerous, or that we, you know, need to be careful around. And so it sounds like there's this specific point in our consciousness, whether it's a past experience, whether it's this common theme of thoughts that we have, that seems to consistently be some sort of trigger for us. And so then it brings in this image in my mind of sort of drawing this map, right? And whenever I think of landmines, I also think of, okay, putting this on paper and actually being able to physically identify, like, where are these landmines? Where are the things that are going to trip you up? Which I think is really useful for sort of conceptualizing the ways that we can come to identify the things in our life that cause trouble for us, that make it difficult for us to be aware of ourselves and be in our bodies. And then it sounds like the second component that you're talking about is sort of transforming those landmines, at least transforming our relationship with those landmines and the ways that we move around them.
There's this notion that it's phases, right? So yeah, you just had this thing happen with grad school. For maybe 2-3 weeks, you want to put grad school thinking about your future as a little landmine of awareness in you, right? And so for those few weeks, you just, when you start to say, whoa, I'm going here again. Okay, checking in. How am I feeling? Actually, you know what? I feel really good, right? This actually might be a good moment for me to think through this, do some Google searches, kind of question it. Be careful. Keep paying attention. You might get sucked in, right? Or you might kind of come in, whoa, okay, yep, this is late at night. I'm really thinking about it. I feel anxious. I feel some fear of my future. That might be a different moment, right? Okay, you might even, wow, I'm having trouble having awareness. So I think in the phases, you might do 3 months of navigating aloneness, right? It's not like, let's identify everything and do all the things and have awareness. It's like, you kind of got to choose chunks at a time. Maybe for a few weeks, you work on judgment. Right. And you really kind of just pay attention to judgment. And yeah, then guess what? You might get a little better at not judging. Guess what? You'll start to find something else. Oh, wow. Here's more of this. And it's, and there is this kind of process of just working with what's present. And because it who knows what's coming up?
Whenever you talk about that in phases, something that popped into my head is the ways that people do periods of sobriety. People who are not, who don't identify as being in recovery, but will take periods of sobriety to sort of renegotiate their relationship with substances. And this way that the things that we have reactions to don't always mean that we're just having a reaction to them in the specific moment when we're interacting with them. And the ways that the work of reimagining our relationship with those things doesn't only happen in the moments that we are interacting with it, where you can also sort of do this work in some ways outside of a reactive space, and where you can, once you are aware of the things that are landmines, once you're aware of the things that trigger you, you can also sort of process those things in spaces other than the immediate moment when you are being triggered by it.
There's a few pieces there. One is the sense of what I call it is sacrificing, right? Because sobriety is such a loaded word that you're sacrificing. You're making an offer to not do this thing for a period of time for whatever comes of it, right? And you're kind of throwing it to the fire, right? And there is a process that will come out of that. The other piece is, yeah, so maybe for a 3-month period, you work on your aloneness because you keep seeing that theme come up, right? Okay, maybe, yeah, that's about what's going on. You're dating, you got something going, you're moving, who knows? And you're like, hey, I'm going to work with this. So you keep in those moments awareness, kind of assessing, well, how am I feeling alone? How is this? It's coming up like this. And for those 3 months, you help soothe that part of you and talk back to that part and be with that. Some might even call reparent that, right? Form a deeper relationship with that entity and that piece of you that is there. And you might do some healing, right? And then it might kind of fade in the background or not be as present. Or you might just be better prepared to navigate it when it does come up. But I actually think we're healing the nervous system. Because, yeah, for 3 months when the aloneness comes up, particularly the aloneness, like you're saying, when you're kind of reactive and you're really alone and you're cognitive distortion, you're catastrophizing, we're going to heal that part in particular. That's what we're targeting. I also think it is so important because we will do better work when you're going to say, you know what? All right, I got this alone thing. Last night I was really feeling it, but I decided to take a bath, not think about it. I soothed myself. I told my nervous system, it's okay to feel better. You don't need to feel this right now. I did some techniques. And then the next morning you might say, okay, now I don't feel as alone. It's still there. Now I'm going to approach this topic. Now I'm going to, you know, that's what I would call like skill two. It's moving towards the things that trigger us because already you're not triggered, right? And now you can dance in and out of it. You can kind of participate with it but be aware, whoa. Okay, I just triggered a little bit. Maybe I need to go back to my like, and that's a great time to like use a skill. Be in the bath while you do it. Go for a walk. Get a bunch of cute colored pens and journal these things, right? What are some things that are going to help you stay online while you do dive into the triggering things? Because if you're already triggered, like you're already taken over. You're already, your frontal lobes are being shut down and turned off, doped. So you're back in this center part of your brain, what we call the reptilian part, right? You're in fight or flight. You're in a more panicky. I just got this letter from grad school. Like in maybe in that moment, if you are having a reaction, right? that's not the best time to do the work. Now, if you can't stop it, then do your best. Ride the waves. Go for it. Like, this isn't, you know, the work. You have to be where you're at. And that's so, such a part of it. And that's the dance. That's a phase of the spiral. Like, I wouldn't say that's the phases of this, right? To be aware, wow, I'm really in it and I can barely have awareness. Okay, the work is different than, okay, I'm aware, I'm having awareness for a few seconds at a time, I'm able to accept this, and I'm telling myself to calm down, is a different phase. So what you're asking of yourself is different than if you're in it.
Yeah, and I like what you said there, where the work is really being with yourself in this way. It seems like this episode in some ways is a conversation about what takes us away from ourselves, or what makes it more difficult to be in our bodies and be present with how we are responding.
And I really want to say this work is so layered, right? There is no something you're supposed to be getting through this podcast that is going to stick and you're going to get it. It's kind of like take what you can, right? We're probably going to give you too much to actually fully digest, right? But it is just this process. That's one of the top four words that we use. Process.
Awareness.
Awareness. Reaction. Oh, cognitive distortions. That's cognitive the fourth distortion. Most used word. I could literally say that 20 times a session. But I will say, when a client prints out that cognitive distortions list, that is one of the most helpful things. I don't understand fully why, but it really is one of the keys.
I think, as you were saying, the work is just honoring where you're at in the moment. And it doesn't mean that you have to stop shaming yourself today. It doesn't mean that tomorrow you start thinking about something that didn't work out and you feel like you need to start making plans and you feel like you have to solve the next 5 years of your life in that moment. It doesn't mean that you failed. It just means that what you need to do is to try to be aware of that and to try to just sort of like put a little marker and just say, this is the thing that happened at this moment. This is what was going on. Let's be aware if this happens again in this moment.
Wouldn't even be able to say, okay, that thought, that happened Friday night when I got my letter and I was reactive, right? You can start to kind of attach, because that awareness puts a little bubble around that moment, that hour that you might be in it figuring out, reacting, and kind of says, okay, those thoughts, I'm just going to be a little more careful with those, right? I'm going to start to, in my life, know the moments that I'm triggered, know the moments a little better, so that what happens there kind of stays in that file, right? And again, not that it's totally false. It just might be a little more distorted. You might want to question it. You might want to just know that you were triggered then. That alone, great. It's super helpful. Even if you just start to know, okay, here's the times during the week where I was really triggered. That week I was depressed. Yeah, a lot of those thoughts I had, that was my depressed week. If you just do that, we didn't even talk about getting better per se. That alone is a lot of, that is really good. And I think that I see, before we enter into this work more deeply or in this way, particularly for my teenagers, it's kind of like they sit in it as if it's real. Like, oh no, I actually believe that my future, it's never going to happen. I'm going to amount to nothing, right? The cognitive distortions in their head exist as real. This is my fault, right? We start to grow this like, oh wait, did you have that when you were in that triggered state? Okay, yeah, do you feel that now? Wow, okay, there's a difference there. Oh wait, we start to break this kind of questioning of those distorted thinking and the ways of thinking and the dark shit.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of
Encountering the core. Core. You want to feel my core? Gosh, I can't wait till we get to the episode about the core. That's where I want to be. Can I say that this whole thing is just pushing me to develop this so much more and to struggle in a really powerful way to put words to this, and also to question where I think we are going once we get through the darkness, is towards the light and towards what is mental health, what is the good part. What do you do? So that excites me.
This process has been, as we said at the beginning, very free form, just kind of following where our questions lead us as we move through. So if any specific questions come up for you as you're listening to this, if anything comes up as you are looking through the guidebook on Orion's website, please let us know, because we are really just following where our questions lead us and where the conversation leads us.
I mean, I can't imagine that you don't have questions. That's the whole point. You're questioning everything constantly, all the time. Try not to do as much when you're reactive, babe.
Once we have,
all I'm sorry. All I'm thinking is like, how do we get Orion to explain these things in their head? I'm like, you need two editions of a guidebook. You need a podcast. You need weekly planning of questions. You need at least 140 sessions. Weekly work. Like, good luck. But that is such a big part of what this podcast is about, is helping extrapolate what's up in there.
Yeah, it's great.